Hi, everyone. This is Jennifer. Welcome to the Corporate Flight Attendant Podcast. I was a corporate flight attendant for 6 years, and I tell you the entertaining and brutal honest truth of this industry. Before we start today, remember, if you like this podcast, please give me a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And I see, guys, that you've been doing that, and I so appreciate it. So thank you so much. Also, check out the show notes for my CFA ebook or to donate. And today we are discussing my next CFA behind the scenes BTS, and we are talking about litigious persons as CFAs and the CFA who cried wolf. Okay, I hate doing this. This is my absolute pet peeve of podcasting, but I have to do it because I have to define what a litigious person is. Cornell.edu defines a litigious person as prone to engaging in lawsuits, even if the suits are unnecessary, unfounded, or largely retaliatory. So you guys remember the boy who cried wolf, that story? It's the same thing, except add a lawsuit to that. And for those of you who are listening outside the United States, I think you know, but just in case you don't, we are a very litigious society, and we love to sue, and we love lawsuits. So this is something you really have to be worried about when you're in the US. Now, I'm not saying it happens all the time, but there are the scam artists out there who will walk into Home Depot and find a place that's a little wet and fall and slip and try to sue Home Depot for millions of dollars. Most of the time, they won't get away with it, but it does happen. And in California, it's actually a big deal, and they have a whole law around it. So any of you who are flying out of LA or San Francisco or anywhere else, just know that I don't know why these scam artists are so attracted to California, but they are. In corporate aviation, you will see things like FAs who will slip on the aircraft stairs or fall on the tarmac or in the hangar unnecessarily and then try to sue. I have never met a person who's done that personally, but I have heard from friends that they know FAs who've done that. So it does happen. It is out there. Now, as an FA yourself, of course, you always want to protect and empower yourself. Of course, report any and all instances of legitimate issues, such as getting hurt on the job, harassment, sexual harassment. But today we're talking more about what you do not do. And this is difficult for me to discuss because I like this CFA. She's always been nice to me. There are two sides to every story. And to be fair, I've never sat her down and asked her side of the story, but things were getting a little hairy. And I want to give you this case study as something that you can learn from if you ever come across a personality like this. Or I hope none of you would ever try to do anything like this. I'm sure you wouldn't. But once the reputation is damaged in this way, it's damaged in this way. And it's going to be tough, especially when companies start calling around and you're trying to move to another company. So just be wary of everything and learn from this story today. Okay. I just want to say, I know that you guys have heard some parts of this story already, and it's going to sound familiar, but I've never talked about the whole thing together. And there's certain parts of it I definitely know I have not talked about on this podcast because I've been debating for a while, should I talk about it? Shouldn't I? And I feel like if I leave names out and obviously companies out, then it should be safe and I'm not giving you certain details. Okay, so I worked this account, and in this account, the chief pilot, let's call him Pete, that was not his name, he was odd, but he was fine to work with. He was nice, he was harmless. I say that a lot about pilots, they're harmless, they're fine. He had this thing for tall women, and I'm sure I've talked about this before, and he was maybe 5'3". I think his wife was like 5'10" or something like that. And to me, that becomes a fetish. I'm like, it's so strange to me. We're talking fetish territory. I flew with him and he had a great co-pilot who turned into a friend, who's a really, really good guy. So flying with them both together, The first guy, Pete, was a little annoying at times, not so much for me, but for the co-pilot. But overall, flying with both of them was a good experience. I would be around both of them poolside in a bikini on trips. I felt fine. I did not feel unsafe or like anyone was leering at me. It was just a normal work day, you could say. I guess that doesn't sound like a normal work day, but you guys know what I mean. When I was leaving the company, and by the way, the company had changed hands, and at that point, it was terrible to their FAs in the end. I feel like they had no respect for their FAs. I talked about this company before. This was a company that left me stranded in Long Island. They could have cared less if I had a car. They didn't apologize for it. I told you guys about that whole thing. And so I really was not in favor of this company at all. I did not have good feelings about them. They became a really downgraded, low-graded bottom feeder company to me. Also, they were accepting clients that, to me, they didn't have many ethics and things were getting a little sketchy. So I'm glad I left that company in the end. So that was one part of my mindset was, okay, this company is just falling into despair. And during that time, a CFA had accused Pete of sexual harassment. And remember, I had been on trips with Pete and he was fine. Talking to Pete about it, I didn't, but I overheard a conversation and he was adamant that he didn't do it. The CFA was adamant he did do it. I was privy to the conversation between Pete and the dispatcher where Pete was angry and was venting to the dispatcher. I'd worked with Pete many times where I was never sexually harassed or harassed in any way. Personally, I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was true. I asked the other pilot, remember the really good co-pilot, and he said to me, well, you're not tall, so Pete's not interested in you. And I thought, okay, that's a valid point. And it's not like I'm even an in-between height where I'm 5'4", 5'5". I'm 5'1". So if you don't like petite, you don't like petite. You know? But I also thought that isn't a sexual harasser a sexual harasser? I didn't think someone who's sexually harassed just targets. I guess they could, but I didn't think of it that way. I thought, okay, any woman in a bikini or whatever, they'll try to harass you. And I didn't get that treatment from Pete. The other pilot thought that something was said or something happened that was misconstrued. And I can't remember what it was exactly, but I think he made a comment about her body, and I think there was some touching involved as well, but I don't know. I end up leaving the company, and I did not think of this incident again. I just kind of let it go. Not long after, this CFA was working for a new company, and things seemed great for her. I remember she had a really great work schedule. Her clients were great. The new account she was on, she said the pilots were great, and I said, okay, sounds cool. Then, not long after that, I heard again she was complaining of harassment, but just plain harassment, not sexual, from the main pilot. So let's call him Ted. Apparently, Ted had acted inappropriately during trips, more of like a toxic workplace environment. Ted was rude and had outrageous screaming fits and would threaten her. And this is according to her. I had worked this account a couple of times and I saw none of this behavior. In fact, I witnessed the opposite. I witnessed two extremely nice and considerate pilots. Now, this woman had two legal complaints against two chief pilots in two different companies in the same exact area. So you can imagine. Though I liked her, nothing was quite adding up. Also, she was telling pilots at different companies wild stories about her work background, and that wasn't adding up. For example, let's say she was formerly a teacher, which she was not, but let's just say she was. I'd hear one story about her being a kindergarten teacher who saved an entire classroom of children from a burning building, to she was a high school teacher in an inner city and won all these awards. Nothing was the same from account to account because I had worked some of her accounts and I couldn't figure out what was going on, but I kept my mouth shut. And this is something that I urge you to do. I would not speak up and say, oh, wait a minute, but she told me she was a kindergarten teacher. No, but I heard she was a high school teacher. Well, I didn't hear that at all. I heard she taught English to businessmen, you know, whatever. Don't talk about it. Don't question it. I feel like that karma always comes around. And I feel like the truth always comes out. And in that situation, I did not want to be a part of it, even though in my head, it wasn't adding up. So if you're ever in this situation, this is a good example of, I would say, keep your mouth shut, take stock of everything, absolutely. And if it's something that you need to bring up at some point, then that's fine, which I never did. But there's just no reason to debate it, especially with another pilot, or try to hurt this person's reputation. Because at this point, you know, you're thinking, okay, this person may not be mentally in the best place. She then quit the second company and moved on to a third company, where unfortunately I cannot discuss the details of what happened because they would reveal way too much and too many people would get hurt. But she accused yet another crew member, now in the third company, of harassment. And it was found that she had been lying and she was caught red-handed. So it was not good for her. And from what I remember from the other two original companies, I don't think any of her legal complaints were founded and everything was dropped. So all she ended up getting was a terrible reputation in the area. And I don't know what she's doing now. She could still be a CFA, and that's, you know, that's her right. And she also has a story of her own, I'm sure. But all of it to me intuitively, and also all the facts just weren't adding up. So be careful of litigious people. They are out there. They are unfortunately in corporate aviation, especially if you become a lead CFA and you have to hire other FAs or contractors, which you may be listening to this and say, I'm not going to have to do that for years. I'm just a contractor now, or I just got hired to something like a NetJets. That'll never happen. You never know. It could happen sooner than you think. And I just want you to be prepared and remember this story. If you do have to hire crew members, or let's say that you do have a say on hiring crew members, I want to give you 5 tips. Number one, watch out for people who are amazing interviewees. This to me can signal a superpower and that they're amazing bullshitters. I'm wary of someone who gives all the perfect right answers and isn't at least a little nervous. Because, and I'll tell you why, not only in corporate aviation, but in other industries, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this person was amazing in the interview, and then they turned out to be an absolute fucking nut job who tore my crew, my company, whatever, apart from limb to limb. And it was like a cancer I could not get rid of. I've heard that many times throughout my life, and I've especially heard of it in corporate aviation. So just be a little wary. I remember hearing a story where there were 2 candidates up for a job, a CFA job, and this woman came in and she just gave every right answer, but in kind of too slick of a way. They ended up hiring her and she became nothing but a nightmare, and she was smart enough to work around the system so they couldn't fire her, and they finally were able to get rid of her, but it took years and years and years. I'm telling you guys, you just have to be careful of these people. They do exist and they are out there, so just be, you know, cognizant of them. Number 2, use your intuition. Sniff out toxicity or potential toxicity. I can't say this enough. I talk about this all the time in this podcast. You guys know that I am a stickler for using your intuition. Make sure you do that. If something or someone doesn't seem right, then it's not right. Number 3, remember what Director of Aviation Tom said. How did the interviewee treat the administrative assistant, the security guard, the front desk person? How did they treat the person who is the line person or who is mopping the floor? Everyone should have respect for everyone. There's no job that's higher. There's no job that's lower. No job is small. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you see this person treating another human in a way that you don't want to be treated, that signals major red flags for me. Number four, read a good book on body language. It says so much and gives away so many nonverbal cues, especially during an interview. That's a really good one to know. Number five, ask around, make phone calls. Corporate aviation is a small world. I promise you, you will find out so much. Sometimes companies cannot say anything negative about a former employee, or they cannot reveal the cause of the employee leaving. Sometimes that is in the actual legal paperwork. If so, read between the lines. If it's not a glowing recommendation, be careful, because most likely they were let go for something that was negative, but the company just has to keep quiet about it. So yes, even corporate aviation can be a litigious place, and it can have a lot of red flags, and it can have a lot of people seeking out things they shouldn't be seeking out. But now that you have this in the back of your head, you can be prepared and you can sniff it out. So that is a great thing. Remember to buy my CFA ebook and give me 5 stars wherever you listen. The next episode will drop on Friday, May 3rd, 2024. And you guys, we have a lot of good episodes coming forward. We have an interview. Someone's coming back again. So I'm very excited about that. Until then, happy flying.